Well, good morning. It's good to see all of you. Good to be back here in Wellsburg, West Virginia. A lot of familiar faces, but some new faces too. We're glad to be able to be with you. I encourage you to get your Bibles and open to the book of Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, I do intend for this to be a class session, so if I ask a question, please give me the answer. And if you have a comment, just raise your hand, I'll get to you. And we'll conduct class that way. I do want to say one quick thing. Even though it's quote-unquote referred to as preacher training, I think we've tried to clear up that it's preacher slash teacher training. And according to Hebrews 5 and verse 12, there's a time that we all ought to be what? There's a time that we all ought to be teachers in some form or some capacity. Hey, so if you want to come in and sit in class every day or one day or 2 days or come to the review classes Tuesday and Thursday from 6 to 8, be really good for you to come and to be with each other and to study those things. So, and like Chuck said, if you have a question about any of that, you can ask me or you can ask anybody here. I'm sure they can probably give you the answers. All right, I want to talk with you today about some musts of seed sowers. Musts of seed sowers. Now, one of the most popular parables that Jesus ever taught was, of course, referred to as the parable of the sower. What is a parable? Okay, that's commonly what we hear. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. What is the difference between a parable and an allegory? Is there a difference between a parable and an allegory? It's either yes or no. Is there a difference between the two? The answer is yes. There is a difference between a parable and an allegory. In the book of Galatians chapter 4, for instance, you see an allegory that contrasts two women, the mother of Isaac and the mother of Ishmael. What's the name of those two ladies? Mother of Isaac is Sarah. Mother of Ishmael, Hagar. And those are two used as an allegory. An allegory, everything in the allegory means something. Okay, both the names mean something. Both cities, okay? Everything in the allegory means something. However, a parable is intended to only have one chief overarching lesson, okay? And sometimes, and I include myself, sometimes we get into the weeds, if you will allow me to say it that way, of the parable, that we miss the overarching lesson of the parable. Okay, so the first thing any parable seeker needs to do is, what is the overarching lesson, overall lesson about that parable? Okay, so most of you are familiar with the parable of the sower. What would you say is the chief overarching lesson of the parable of the sower? How would you tell somebody that? Okay, I heard a couple of things, Jay.
Use the talents that you have.
Okay, use the talents that you have. Okay.
Get out and do it.
Okay, get out and do it. Do what? Okay, sow the seed. Okay. Yeah, it's about using your talents to sow the seed of the kingdom. That's the point of the parable. Okay. Now, don't get me wrong. We can, after we know the overarching lesson of the parable, okay, to maybe dive a little deeper into it, but remembering the overarching lesson of the parable. Okay, so that's the difference between a parable and an allegory. Allegory, every single little detail of that story means something. A parable has one overarching lesson. Okay, so that's something to remember. All right, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record a version of the parable of the sower, as well as what we might refer to as explanations of the parable of the sower. And you can go back and read in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Okay, what's the difference between Matthew, Mark, Luke, and the book of John? Is there a difference between those three and that one? Are there a difference between Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John? There's some similarities, but there's some differences. Have you ever heard of somebody refer to the Synoptic Gospels? Have you ever heard that phrase before, the Synoptic Gospels? Have you heard, anybody heard that before? Okay, what does the word synoptic mean? One of you guys know what synoptic means? What's this synoptic mean? Okay, if you kind of break that word down, S-Y kind of has a reference to writing. Optics, of course, have a reference to our sight or our eyes. Okay, so the books of Matthew, Mark, and Luke look similar and sound similar in the ways that they are written. Okay, John is not one of the synoptic gospels, so to speak. What length of time does the book of John cover the life of Jesus? Matthew, Mark, and Luke cover roughly how much? If you're just looking at Jesus' public ministry, it covers about how long of a period of time? About what? About 3 years. Yeah, about 3 years. John, how long of the life of Jesus does it cover? About how long? Okay, the book does start at the beginning of the time. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word became flesh in verse number 14. We're familiar with that. But in terms of covering the life of Jesus, it's about 3 weeks. Okay, it's about the last 3 weeks of Jesus. So that's much different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke, isn't it? Okay, so that's why you probably don't see as many parables, if any at all, really, in the book of John. Okay, is it focuses more in on the last few weeks of the life of Jesus. All right, so Matthew, Mark, and Luke all have some version of the parable of the sower. All right, so let's make a little list of some musts of seed sowers. Okay, and Chuck got us off to a good start. Okay, the first must is we must plan to go. Okay, emphasis on the word go. Okay, we must plan to go. Okay, in Matthew 13, it says in verse 3, behold, a sower did what? He went. Okay, he left. He actually made plans and followed through with his plans. How many of us have ever had a plan in our mind before, but never went through with it? Okay, if we're all being honest, we'll probably all put both of our hands up. I think this would be a good thing to do. I think this would be a good thing to say, but I've never done that. Okay, that's where we get the old familiar phrase, the road to hell is paved with what? Good intentions. Okay, I might intend to sow the seed one day, but I might not. Okay, so the first thing is I have to plan to go. I've got to get up and I've got to go. Okay, did anybody in the Bible ever get up and go teach, sow the seed? Who are some get up and goers of the seed in the Word of God? Hey, the Apostle Paul. He got up and he went. Hey, look at all of his three preaching journeys. And by the way, did he take an airplane on his journeys? No. What was his main source of transportation, do you think? His feet. Okay, his feet. A boat every once in a while, but his feet. He got up and he went. Who else? I thought I heard somebody else say somebody. Philip is a good example there in the book of Acts 8. In fact, when he was told to go to the Ethiopian eunuch, he was told to get up and what? Get up and go to the eunuch. And what did he do? He got up and he went. Okay, so that's a good example. Anybody else? Peter. Okay, Peter, all the apostles, if you want to make a list of those, Peter, okay, and the others who went out and got up and they went. Okay, so if we're going to be good seed sowers, the first thing we have to do is we're going to have to do what? We're going to have to get up and go. Okay, we just can't sit there and think about doing it one day. We're going to have to get up and go. Okay, what do we commonly refer to the words of Matthew 28, 18 through 20 as? There's something we refer to those words as the Great Commission. Okay, and I believe, if I'm correct, that one of the first words in the Great Commission is what? Go. Okay, go where? Okay, go into all the world and make disciples. But the emphasis is on you got to get up and what? You got to get up and go. Okay, so that's the first must of seed sowers. Okay, secondly, we must plan to plant seed. Okay, we must plan to plant seed Okay, and while we're on that subject, to plant the right seed. Okay, some of us have been talking about gardens and plants and other things. Okay, if you expect something to grow out of the ground, you're going to have to do what? You've got to plant a seed. Okay, imagine a seed of corn, for example. Okay, if you leave it on your table in your dining room, what's it going to do? It's not going to do anything. It's just going to sit there. Okay, but if you put it into the ground, what happens? Hopefully, it grows. Okay, now, I don't think there's any one of us who can explain in the right language how that works. I mean, how does that work? Okay, that's all the doing of who? That's all the doing of God. Okay, and that plays a role in this as well. Okay, what is the seed that's being sowed in the parable of the sowers? What kind of seed is he sowing? Okay, it's the word of God. How do you know it's the word of God? Okay, it's explained, isn't it? Okay, and you know, if you put all these together, okay, in the book of Luke chapter 8, okay, in the parable of the sower, the explanation of the parable of the sower in Luke 8 and verse 11, it says, now the parable is this, the seed is what? The seed is the word of God. Okay, so if we're going to be expert seed sowers, we got to get up and go, and we've got to plant the right seed. Okay, now let me ask you guys, do you think the right seed is being planted in every place? No? Tell me some wrong kinds of seeds that are being planted in the name of spiritual work, religious work. I'm sorry? Yeah, faith only. Yeah. As long as you have faith, you're going to be saved. Okay, and those folks would be right because Romans 5 and verse 1 says that we are justified by faith. Does that make them right? No? Are we justified by faith? We are justified by faith. Okay, but faith without works is dead. Where's that at? James 2, okay, 14 through 26, the relationship between faith and works. In fact, in that context, it says that we are justified by works and not by what? Faith alone or faith only. Depends on the version that you're using. Okay, very good. That's a wrong seed that's being planted. What else? What about my opinions? If I'm going around planting my opinions, is that the wrong seed? That's the wrong seed. Okay, that's the wrong seed. We'll have maybe a little bit more to say about that in the sermon. Okay, maybe I'm not picking on any individual person here. Okay, if you've said this, I don't know. Okay, but maybe you've heard somebody preach before and say, now, this is not in the Bible. Okay, but it's in Larry 16:16. Okay, if you heard something like that before, okay, what you're about to hear is what? What are you about to hear? Their opinion. Okay? So if I can't prove it from the Bible, I probably ought just to do what? Just to be quiet about it. Okay? So I can put my finger on what the Bible has to say. Okay? Any other wrong seeds? I'm sorry? Okay. Yeah. The frequency of the taking of the emblems. Okay? How often should it be taken? On Sunday, which one? Which first day? Which first day? Okay, but which one? Everyone. Okay, so I'm on the other side here just for a moment. Okay, how do you know that? Not just you guys, but anyway, how do you know that? How do you prove that? Okay, you're saying. Okay, Acts 20 and verse 7 says, upon the first day of the week, the disciples gathered together to break bread. Okay, it doesn't say which one, though, does it? It just says first day of the week. 1 Corinthians 11 says, as often as you do this. Okay, how do you know? How can you tell somebody that we should be doing this every first day of the week? Because we need to be able to teach this, right? Because she brings up something that's in error. Okay. And where would you study at? Okay. So 1 Corinthians 11. Okay. And Acts 20 is where Harold was making a reference to a moment ago. So yeah, you got to start the Bible, right? That's the best place, the only place to start. Okay. One of the Ten Commandments was to remember what day? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Do you guys remember when Moses said, I'm confused. Which Sabbath day do you want me to keep? You remember him saying that? Ken, you remember him saying that? Did Moses say that? Moses didn't say that, did he? Hey, why not? How many weeks have a Sabbath day? They all do. They all do. Okay, so Moses was forced to conclude to remember which one? All of them. Okay, in the same vein then, when we read in Acts 20, verse 7, upon the first day of the week, okay, we're forced to conclude what? They did this every first day of the week. Okay, just like they remembered every Sabbath day. Okay, so yeah. So some take it monthly, some take it twice a year, some take it once a year. I read a website one time that said, we take it as often as the elders say we ought to. Okay? And some don't do it at all, okay? Or have different emblems. Yeah, so that's a different seed. Okay, so we could go with a lot of different seeds that are being planted. Okay, but if we're going to be good seed sowers, okay, one thing we must do is plant this seed, okay, this incorruptible seed that we read about in the book of 1 Peter. Okay, another must of seed sowing is that we must plant in all kinds of soils. Okay, all types of soils. Okay, look at the soils in the parable of the sower. Okay, some seeds, according to verse 4, fell by the wayside. Verse 5, some fell upon stony places. Verse 7, some fell among the thorns. And then verse 8, some of it actually fell on what kind of ground? Good ground. Okay, good ground. Okay, which of these soils produced something positive? Okay, the good ground, obviously. The good ground. Okay, in strict mathematics here, if there's four soils, okay, and only one of them produced something positive, what's that in terms of percentage? 25%. Okay, I would say we would be very ecstatic if 25% of the people that we invited the services actually came or accepted an invitation to hold a Bible study somewhere. Okay, we would be ecstatic, wouldn't we? Because that's far and above what we normally see. Okay, I may have to invite 100 people to service before I actually can get one to come or one to have a home Bible study. So one of the big dangers of interpreting the parable of the soil is that we're going to go out and try to find the good ground and then plant seed there. Okay, is that the wrong lesson to take from the parable of the sower? We're all going to get together, get our heads together. Where is the good soil? Where is the good ground? And then we're going to go there and plant seed and leave all the other ones undone. Is that what we ought to take from the parable of the sower? Okay, sow the seed. Okay, and I know that you guys have heard some type of version of this. Okay, we are seed sowers. We're not heart testers. Okay, the only way I know what's in somebody's heart is to do what? Sow the seed. Okay, and then they'll be the ones to decide, okay, as to whether or not they want to make application of the things that they have learned. Okay. Some of us probably have looked at a person before and said, in our minds at least, if not out loud, they would never obey the gospel. Okay, this based on what? What are some of the factors of adjudication that we make sometimes that we make decisions like that? Maybe it's what? Maybe it's observations of how they look. Okay? Maybe the color of their skin. Okay? Of course, that would be a racial bias. Okay? Does the Bible talk about different biases? It does. Okay. What else? What other things? I'm sorry. Yeah, the language they might use. Okay, it might be a, you know what? That guy, every other word is a curse word. He takes the Lord's name in vain like it's going out of style. There's no way, no way that he would ever respond to the gospel. Well, I don't know that, do I? Okay, until what? They'll sow the seed. Okay, try. That's right. What else? Yeah. Social status. Okay. Remember James 2, the early part of James 2? The rich man, well-dressed, came into the assembly, and they told him to sit where at? Come right up here, sir. We have a good seat for you. Right here. Look, nobody else is sitting here. We've saved this for you. Okay. But then the poor man with vile clothing, you sit where at? You go back there. Okay. You might smell. Okay. You look odd. Okay. You sit back there. Okay. And James says, don't have that kind of what? Don't have that attitude. Don't have that kind of judgment. Okay. No, don't be a respecter of persons, okay, as God is not. Yeah, so social status, where they live, okay, what kind of house they have, what kind of car they drive, okay, what kind of clothes they wear, okay, is all things sometimes we make determinations about. Anything else? Yeah, just their behavior, just their actions. Okay, we make a snap decision that based on the way that they're behaving, I mean, it's a waste of my time to sit down and study with them. When again, I don't know until I try or sow the seed. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we have a place to work from there, don't we? If they're willing to sit down and study. Yeah. So we have atheists, we have agnostics, we have people who don't believe the Bible is the Word of God, and everything in between. Okay. And we have to learn how to sit down and hopefully study with them. What about where somebody's from? We call that regional bias. Okay? Based on where you're from, what country you're from, or the part of West Virginia you're from, or wherever you're from, there's no way you're going to accept the gospel. Okay? That's regional bias. Was regional bias in the Bible? Okay. Yeah. Remember in John 1, somebody once asked, can any good thing come from where? Nazareth. You remember that? Okay. Well, I can think of at least one good thing that came from Nazareth. Can you? Okay. That's regional bias. There was some sort of a bias. Nothing good has ever came from Nazareth. Nothing ever will. Okay. Well, I don't know that. Okay. And what was the group of people in the Bible that was so hated by the Jews? You guys remember that? The Jews and the Samaritans, it was just passed on from generation to generation. I have to think that at some time, a little Jewish boy asked his mom and dad, how come I'm supposed to hate the Samaritans? Okay, and they probably didn't know the answer. That's just the way it always has been, okay, and vice versa. Okay, we don't have time to get into all of that. Okay, but didn't Jesus make the Samaritan a hero at one point in time of something? Okay, at least twice, yeah. So, what's one are you thinking of?
He makes reference to the Good Samaritan, of course.
Okay, yeah.
There's also one where he talks about the individuals that came from those territories that didn't bring the name.
Yeah.
God gave the opportunity to come to Samaria.
Right, very good. Yeah, and they went to Samaria, by the way. Philip did, didn't he? Before he saw the eunuch. Very good, yeah. So, the Good Samaritan is the one that most of us are pretty familiar with. Okay. No. Well, okay. Yeah. If when I die, what is said to me is he cling to his Bible and to his God, I'm good with that. Are you good with that? Okay, I'm good with that. All right. So, yeah, the Good Samaritan. Okay, of course, his encounter with the woman at the well, she was a Samaritan. Okay, and you remember, she said, the Jews have no dealings with who? Samaritans. Why are you talking to me? Okay, and of course, he had an elongated conversation with her. Okay, there's one other place, another story, where the Samaritan was a hero. Trey, you raising your hand? Okay, the 10 lepers in Luke 17, who were cleansed of their leprosy, How many came back to say thank you? One. And who was it? He was a Samaritan. Do you think Jesus picked out the Samaritans just out of the thin air in those stories? Or you think he was trying to drive a point home? Trying to drive a point home, wasn't he? Good people come from where? All places. Yeah, they come from all places. So, if we're going to be seed sowers, we're just going to be like a broadcast spreader. Okay, we're going to spread the seed we're at. Everywhere we can. Okay, that's our job. To plant the seed, and what else is our job? Plant the seed and what else is our job with the seed? Water the seed, and we give the increase, right? God gives the increase. Okay, isn't there a verse that says that somewhere? What verse says, I have planted, Apollos has watered, but God gave the increase? Be a good verse to memorize. I know where it is. Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. I have planted, Apollos has watered, God gives the increase. Now, work that verse backwards. God cannot give the increase if you don't what? Okay? If you don't plant the seed and water it, God can't give the increase, can he? Okay, so it's up to us. Okay, so we must go. We must plant the seed, the word of God. Okay, we must plant it in all soils. Okay, here's a few other ones, real quick one to hit. We must expect success in our seed sowing. Sometimes we get so discouraged at hearing what? No. 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 Let me just, oh no, reject it all the time. Okay, and the first thing we want to talk about when we get to the parable of the sower is you're probably going to be what? Rejected very often. Okay, but we ought at times to expect what? Success. Okay, it's all in our what? It should be all in our mind. Okay, if in my mind I expect to be a failure, what am I going to be? Probably going to be a failure. Okay, if in my mind I expect to hear no all day long, I'm probably going to do what? I'm going to hear no all day long. So in my mind, I have to train my mind to expect success. Okay, somebody's going to say yes today. Okay, and I'm going to be there to hear it, and I'm going to be there to deal with it. Okay, in the ways that I know how. All right, we also, on the heels of that, okay, we also must expect rejection. Okay, I want you to know, I put success before rejection. Okay, if you're taking notes. Okay, make sure you put those in that order. Okay, success and then rejection. Okay, what happens when we get rejected a lot? What happens to our minds? Yeah, we become conditioned to that. We get discouraged. And all of that leads to me just finally doing what? Giving up. I can't do it anymore. Okay, I give up. Okay, we have to fight the urge. To give up, to give in, and to quit. That's the easy way. That's the easy way out, isn't it? Just to give up and to quit. Okay, the hard part is to keep on keeping on, even after I've been rejected. Okay, so I expect success in my seed sowing, okay, but I also expect that at some point in time I'm going to be rejected. All right? Another must of seed sowing is that we must work together in our seed sowing. Okay, we go back to that planting and watering verse in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6. Who wrote the book of 1 Corinthians? Paul. So he's the I when he says, I have planted. But who watered? Apollos watered. Now, somebody tell me the difference between planting the seed and watering the seed. Or is there a difference? I'm sorry? Okay. The reinforcement of what has been said or what has been taught. Okay? Yeah. I'm sorry? Okay, encouragement. Okay, yeah. You might encourage somebody. And I know that you studied with Roland last week. And I just wanted to encourage you to think about that. And if you have any questions, to ask Roland or me or to act on the things that you've studied. Okay? And that's kind of what I think Harold maybe had in mind. Okay, just reinforce those things. Okay, when we study with somebody, they're not all going to automatically accept. They're not all automatically going to obey. A lot of folks want to take time to think about things, okay, especially if they're coming from particular religious backgrounds. They have to kind of filter through things. Okay, and while they're doing that, okay, we just don't want to let them loose. Okay, and from time to time, you might do what? What might you ask them from time to time? Check on them. You've been thinking about the things that we studied last week. If you have any questions, just be sure to let me know. To keep it where at in their mind, the foremost of their minds. Because as time slips by, things, as all of you know, things start to do what? They start to go back here. Okay. So planting the seed and watering the seed is something we do together. You might plant, I might water. You might plant, or I might plant, and you may water. Okay, that's how that works. Okay, what book in the Bible, if somebody asked you, what book in the Bible shows the people of God working together to accomplish something great? Now, there's more than one right answer to this. Okay, it's not only one. Okay, but if I said, what book in the Bible shows the people of God working together to accomplish something great? Okay. Any suggestions on that? I'm sorry? Okay, yeah, the apostles worked together, okay, to accomplish something, especially after the death of Christ, okay, as they went out on the Great Commission. Okay, good. What else? Okay, Nehemiah is a good example. Hey, we don't have time to do this, but you might go back and read Nehemiah chapter 3 sometime. And what did Nehemiah focus his efforts on? What was he trying to do? What was he trying to rebuild? The wall. Okay, the wall of Jerusalem that had been destroyed and the gates that had been destroyed when Babylon came and took them captive. They just ran roughshod over not only the temple, which Ezra focused on, but the wall. So Nehemiah came back. Okay, and if you read Nehemiah chapter 3, there's a phrase that keeps popping up. Next unto him. Next unto him. Next unto him. I would sometimes, as an exercise, go back and highlight or underscore all those. Next unto them. Next unto him. Okay, one person by themselves did not rebuild the wall. Okay, they did it how? Together. Okay, that's how they were able to rebuild the wall. And how many days? How many days did they rebuild the wall? I know. Was it over 100 or under? Under, okay. So we've narrowed it down to 1 to 99 for you. Okay. Over 50 or under 50? Who says under? Over? I don't see very many hands going up. 40? That's a good Bible number, 40. That would make sense, wouldn't it? 52 days. Okay, Nehemiah 6, 52 days. And somebody may want, how were they able to do that? Well, they worked hard and they worked together. Okay, and it's a good lesson for a local church when it's trying to go out and sow the seed. Okay, we work together. Okay, there's going to be planters, there's going to be waterers. Okay, there's going to be those who may be more adept at having home Bible studies. Okay, but while somebody else may be really good at setting up home Bible studies, I've known both of them. I've known people that are really good at setting up home Bible studies, but not super comfortable teaching them. Okay, so somebody sets it up. Okay, somebody else may teach it. But everybody's working how? Yeah. Working together. Okay, working together. Now, the last thing here in the last couple of moments, as a must of seed sowing, is that we must have patience. Okay, we must have patience. Okay, how ridiculous would it be for me to go out in my garden one day and plant a green bean seed and then the next day go out there and expect a full-grown plant and get green beans off of it? That would be asking a little too much, wouldn't it? Okay. Anybody know how long it takes, by the way, for a green bean seed to grow up until you probably are going to harvest it? Harold, you should know that stuff. What'd you say? Yeah, about 60 days. Okay. That's 2 months. Okay. 2 months. Okay. Now, James talks about the connection between patience, okay, and the coming of the Son of God, and uses a farmer as an example. who waits for the early rains and the latter rains, okay, in order to produce the fruit. Okay, we have to be patient, okay, while we're waiting for seed to take place, okay, and to take hold, and be patient waiting for success. Okay, success will come, but you have to be patient. Okay, who in the Bible was patient? Okay, I heard Job. Did you say Job too? Okay, Job. Yeah, James 5:11. You have heard of the patience of who? Of Job. Atheists who have never opened their Bible, never even held a Bible, know about what? The patience of Job. They know about him. Okay, and really, patience in the Bible is not typically don't lose your temper. Okay, don't scream at somebody. Okay, there's a few places that the word patience means that. Okay, but patience typically means, and a lot of versions will clear it up by using the word endurance, okay, as a substitute, a proper substitute for that. So if we want to be good seed sowers, we're going to have to endure some hard times, okay, and be patient. Be patient with people as they work through trying to understand what the responsibility to God is. Okay? Okay, you guys tell me in the last, what we got, two, three minutes? What else about seed sowing do you think is important in addition to the things we've talked about? Anything else? Yeah, you got to. And Nathan brings up a good point. Okay, a good seed sower looks to who first? Okay, to God and self. Okay, Timothy was told, take heed unto who? Thyself. Okay, and in so doing, thou shalt save others, yourself and others. Okay, so his first responsibility was who? Himself. How many of you have rode an airplane before? Rode an airplane? Did you fly to Myrtle Beach? Oh, drove? Okay. How many of you have heard the spiel, the safety spiel on an airplane? Somebody tell me what it says. Keep going. About the mask. Tell me about the mask. If you're traveling with small children and the cabin loses air pressure, these masks are going to drop out of the ceiling. Okay? And as a parent, I would think, as a parent, my first instinct would be to do what? To put it on your child. Okay? To put it on your child. Okay? But that's not what they say unless they changed it. Okay? They'll say, if you're traveling with small children and the cabin loses air pressure and these masks come down, put yours on first and then your child's. Now, I would think to most parents, that sounds backwards, doesn't it? Okay, because our parental instinct is to take care of them. Why do they say that? Why are they saying that? What's the reason behind it? Yeah. Who's going to help my kids if, while I'm fiddling around with the mask trying to get it on them, that I pass out? Who's going to help them? Okay? Nobody, perhaps. Okay, there may be some other people in my help, but so I have to take care of myself first. So Nathan brings up a good point. Okay, if I'm not where I need to be with God, I can't help anybody else be where they need to be with God. I have to be where I need to be first. Okay, very good. Anything else? Speak the truth in love. Yeah. Ephesians 4:15. You got to use some tact. Hey, you got to use some tact. Okay, would you knock on somebody's door and the very first time you see them, if you're not baptized, you're going to hell? Well, there's some truth in that. There is truth in that, but is that the way to handle that? No, you got to speak the truth in love. Okay, anything else? Hey, very good. Thanks for your help and your comments and your answering questions.